some relief at the gas pump, but will it last?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, oil and gas prices are down slightly from their peak, but a Goldman Sachs report out today says it won't last for long. First, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up. The Dow is up 18 points, about 0.1% at 12,399. The NASDAQ up 0.1% as well. And the S&P 500 up about 0.25% right now. The price of a cup of coffee is about to go up. The company that sells Folgers, Dunkin' Donuts, and many store brand coffees said today it'll soon implement its second double-digit price increase this year. J.M. Smucker Company says it's just passing on the prices it pays for beans at the wholesale level. Now let's get to oil and gas prices. They're down from their peak, but Goldman Sachs said today that oil prices will jump another 20% or so in the next 12 months. Julie Neiman is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis, as she is every Tuesday. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, let's just set the scene. Oil prices are down from their peak. Gas prices are down from their peak, 11 cents down last week. Why the drop after the big run-up in prices?
Well, it's really the laws of supply and demand. We have plenty of supply and we have flat demand. The only reason we got to these astronomic prices was because of speculation. In fact, the president of Exxon said if prices only reflected supply and demand, we'd be at $70 a barrel. So speculation drove it up to those levels.
And what about this Goldman Sachs prediction this morning that oil prices and probably therefore gas prices will go up another 20% in the next 12 months?
Well, they're assuming very strong global growth, significant pickup in demand, and we're looking at across the globe. We're not all driving electric cars yet, so you're going to see significant pickup as we continue to recover very slowly here.
Well, if we're going to see significant pickup, Julie, have we reached the end of the $3 a gallon gasoline?
Well, we could plunge back down to $1.19 a gallon, sure, but that would take another huge honking recession depression, and that would bring the global economy to its knees. That's a measure that's just a tad draconian.
So $4 a gallon is what we're going to be paying going forward.
We could very well, with strong demand, and the fact is we still don't have fuel-efficient cars. We don't have a transportation infrastructure that helps out yet. It's going to take that to keep it under control.
Julie Neiman, analyst with Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much as always.
You bet.
Well, in just a few minutes, we'll get a look at how well new homes are selling. Analysts are predicting a slight uptick for last month, but we're still on track for the worst year of new home sales in half a century. There is one kind of real estate, though, that's on a tear, as Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
The price of farmland has been growing faster than corn in a hot July. Prices are up more than 20% this year in parts of the Midwest. In Nebraska, Farm Bureau President Keith Olson says his own land is worth three times what it was 5 years ago. Bidding wars are common.
Neighbors get the fighting between who should own that quarter in between them. A lot of farmers have cash right now, and they are buying land at a very high price.
Crop prices are up, so it's tempting to expand. Interest rates are low, so it's cheap to borrow. And both of these things could change. Economist Robert Shiller called the tech bust and the housing collapse before they happened.
People often ask me, where's the next bubble? It's possible that it could happen in farmland.
But there are also real reasons for rising prices. The amount of farmland is essentially fixed, while the population keeps getting bigger and hungrier. And farmer Keith Olson says new technologies make his dry western Nebraska acres more productive and more valuable every year. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
Now to that volcano that's erupting in Iceland and the havoc it's wreaking on some of the busiest airspace in the world. British authorities say 500 flights could be affected. That means thousands of travelers could be delayed and millions of dollars could be lost by the airlines. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us live from London with more. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, I guess the big question is, will this year's ash cloud be as bad as last year's?
Well, last year was bad, remember. 10 million passengers were stranded. The airlines paid out $1.7 billion in compensation. But there's reason to think that it's not going to be anything like as bad this time. In fact, the UK Weather Office has just said that the worst of this ash cloud is over. And there's another reason for optimism. Last year, for example, the UK grounded aircraft as soon as any ash was detected in the atmosphere. That, says UK Transport Secretary Philip Hammond, won't happen this time.
There will be no blanket closures of airspace. Airlines are now able to fly in low and medium ash density conditions, which they weren't able to last year.
Stephen, last year the airlines didn't really like the government response to the ash cloud. Do they feel it's better this time around?
Well, better marginally, but they're still not happy, or at least their lobby group, IATA, is not happy. It's complained that the UK government doesn't have its own light aircraft that can go up and test the ash density to see whether it's safe to fly. The UK is relying solely on the forecasts of its National Weather Service. IATA says that is astonishing and unacceptable.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
And finally to Georgia, where the shrimping industry is having a hard time passing on high fuel costs to customers. And that, combined with increasing competition from abroad, is forcing some shrimpers to cut bait and switch to jellyfish. They're catching them by the ton and shipping them off to Asia, where jellyfish are popular in salads and stir fries. Disposing of the excess catch, though, can get a bit unpleasant. One resident of Darien, Georgia, told the Savannah Morning News the town hasn't smelled very nice for days. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Investing comes with risks and rewards. So imagine a way to cut out the risk and still make a buck or two.
Some people, it might be liberating and empowering to just trade and not worry about the money that they're losing.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, social networking and investing. Match made in heaven or complete fantasy. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.